Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to talk about the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and particularly how the FCPA applies to pharmaceutical companies. As many of you probably know, the FCPA prohibits companies from bribing officials of a foreign government to win business in that country. In the last 5 years, the Justice Department here has stepped up enforcement of the FCPA dramatically, and now it is one of the most serious compliance risks U.S. corporations face and compliance officers worry about. We are talking about the FCPA and the pharmaceutical industry today because, actually, that is what the Justice Department seems to be talking about now. Late last month, Assistant Attorney General Lanny Brewer warned the pharmaceutical industry in a speech that the FCPA crackdown against Big Pharma could be coming, and today we're going to talk about what that might mean and what pharmaceutical companies should be thinking about when it comes to FCPA compliance. Joining us today to talk about that is Jonathan Halpern. He is a partner in the white-collar defense practice at law firm Bracewell & Giuliani, and he has talked with us before on issues like this. So, Jonathan, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
I guess my first question here is, where did this shot across the bow come from? Have we actually seen real bribery problems in the pharmaceutical industry, or is this something the Justice Department just wants to expand its enforcement appetite and its scope?
Yeah, it's a mix. There are kind of multiple parts to answers to that question. First, FCPA continues to be a top priority of the Justice Department. I mean, you mentioned something along those lines. Within the last 5 years, for example, there have been more cases brought than in the previous 28. There are reportedly something like 120 FCPA investigations underway right now. And in particular to the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, there already has been a history of some FCPA issues. A year and a half ago, AGA Medical entered into a deferred prosecution agreement for violations, paid something like a $2 million penalty in connection with a scheming to pay doctors in China who were employed by government-owned hospitals in China in order to get distribution of a medical device for a congenital heart issue. And there have been a series over the years. AstraZeneca last year reportedly was under investigation for unidentified FCPA investigations, and there have been a number of issues, especially in China, but other countries as well, diagnostic products and DPC and so forth. So in addition to that, I mean, earlier this year, the government has said that it's going to put the healthcare fraud industry also under the prosecutorial microscope, looking at violations of anti-kickback statutes through agreements and going after individuals, executives, and doctors to make them examples, not just the industry itself.
Now, I was trying to get a grasp on how Big Pharma might be handling this, since a lot of large pharmaceutical companies, they're global in nature, they have had to worry about FCPA for a while. Do you expect that any new sort of crackdown will be difficult for pharmaceutical companies to handle or to implement compliance improvements?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, pharmaceutical companies are big, sophisticated corporations. They have savvy counsel in-house and outside counsel. And no doubt they already have robust programs, policies, and codes of ethics on paper. What they should be doing, and no question will be a challenge, but as is required even under the sentencing guidelines for an effective compliance program, is to review their programs, to review where they're doing business, how they're doing business, what countries are their hot-button regions that are identified, for example, as areas where there's a reputation for corrupt business dealings. You'd refer to the Transparency Index. You want to know how they're doing business. Is it directly with hospitals, through distributors? I mean, those are areas that typically pharmaceutical companies do business with. And when they do that, they have to follow up with really robust due diligence of their partners and take you know, they have to test their programs. They'll really get smacked if they have the best robust program, but don't follow up, that don't test to see whether it's enforceable or how it's enforced. There should be independent auditing and ongoing monitoring.
Well, now, you have mentioned once or twice about dealings with doctors specifically and how that might be a weak spot. I'm actually thinking of something like a pharmaceutical sales rep taking a bunch of doctors out on a round of golf or something. That happens all the time in the United States. It's not anything particularly onerous, but is that the sort of thing or the weak spot where maybe that could wind up an issue in countries where those doctors might be part of a government-run healthcare system?
You know, that's a very good point. I mean, it's one of many issues. Gifts and entertainment expenses, another hot-button issue.
Yeah.
There's no de minimis payment that can escape notice. So, yes, paying a doctor who is essentially a government employee because the hospital who employs him or her is government owned, it would be a foreign official. And to pay for a round of golf with a corrupt purpose of seeking business would qualify as an FCPA violation. So yes, that's an example. There are many, though, especially through distributors. I mean, obviously you want to vet the distributor to see, you know, the background. There should be a questionnaire, certifications, recommendations, referrals, to see, you know, how does this distributor do business. Obvious, you know, it's obvious to say as a policy there should be no cash payments, but also there should be checks, safeguards to protect against advance payments through third parties or third countries. And those are some other examples.
Well, that actually brings me to my last question. I wanted to ask about partnerships, which is a very common arrangement for pharmaceutical companies, that they might develop one drug here and then sell the marketing rights to a partner somewhere else or vice versa. And I am wondering, how clear is the FCPA on bribery offenses in that sort of a format?
Yeah. Also, I mean, I think you've touched on a key tension point. First, just as an enforcement principle, the U.S. Department of Justice is increasingly holding accountable U.S. parents for their subsidiaries overbroad as direct subsidiaries and also as partners in joint ventures. Apart from the anti-bribery provision, there's also a books and records and an internal accounting controls provision that's part of the Justice Department enforcement, but SEC as well. And so there is issuer liability even with the U.S. partner holds less than 50% of the voting power than the issuer, and presumably derivative of that, the subsidiary, is required to act in good faith to try to influence his or her partners, its partners, to comply with FCPA, to certify and to, you know, to open up the books and records and to put in safeguards against this and to obtain really certifications and assurances that there's going to be compliance and vetting who the JV is doing business and what distributors and how it's conducting business and doing a really thorough and complete due diligence analysis of its JV partners.
Okay. Jonathan, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about here, so we really appreciate all your time today.
Thanks so much.
Again, everybody, that was Jonathan Halpern of the law firm Bracewell & Giuliani joining us to talk about FCPA compliance in the pharmaceutical industry. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.